right now, a 2nd and 6. Again, Johnson in the backfield. Over the middle, has his man. Mason Rudolph goes to Mount Washington. That's a 19-yard touchdown strike. And Darnell Washington says, I'm here, baby. That's a touchdown. The Steelers have the lead.
Oh, pomp in midseason form calling that touchdown. And going out now to the fan hotline, where we'll find Trey Essex. The fan hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We can talk about Darnell Washington and his performance, and we have, and we will continue to do so. But the clean pocket, Doran, for Mason Rudolph is why we have Trey on. I mean, Trey, there ain't a guy within 5 yards of Mason Rudolph there. It was beautiful.
It was such a beautiful thing, wasn't it? Such a clean pocket. Mason was back there flipping burgers, making fries. He made the order, passes to Darnell Washington in the end zone. You know, it was a beautiful thing.
So thank you for coming on, first of all. Again, this is the second week in a row. We can't get enough Trey Essex. Your podcast is taking off. We talked to Charlie Batch on Friday about the podcast as well. So the two tackles, Broderick Jones and Troy Faltanu, 24 pass blocking reps between the two of them, zero pressures allowed. We can give you the statistics. I can't break down offensive line play. That's why we bring you on. Tell us what you saw from those two guys.
They played well. I mean, they were aggressive. Now, Arthur Smith called a very offensive line friendly game. I thought it was very pertinent of him to get the guys out to a fast start. And as offensive linemen, we always like to go out forward versus going backwards to start a game. You always want to punch first, you know? You don't want to be pass sitting on the first pass if you can't help it, you know? And so I thought coming out and doing play action was a nice mix. Those are the safe plays for offensive linemen because you have very few chances they get mental errors. And so coming out doing a boot pass on the first play, coming out and doing counter play action on the second play. And then we ran zone and end up running a quick bubble screen because there were 7 in the box out to Roman Wilson, who also had a really good game. And so it was really good to see the tackles do what they had to do to keep the pressure away. Obviously, the inside was very solid between Spencer, Mason, and Zach, and I thought they did a good job across the board. But it was a beautiful thing to see our young tackles get out and get out to a fast start.
Trey, Caleb Johnson, rookie running back, didn't have the best showing in his first preseason game, but did you see anything from him that, you know, he could bring into this coming week, this next game? I mean, it is tough. You know, to me, it seemed like he was dealing with some nerves, some anxiety of having his first preseason game, but are you worried about him at all, or do you think he'll bounce back this week?
No, I think it's just getting used to the speed of the game. You saw what I saw. There was some hesitation. He didn't press the zone because there was some hay to be made in the run game. And I think a lot of people might temper the excitement about the O-line's performance because the running game, the rushing yards weren't as good. But there were some yards to be made, and I think the running backs could have did a better job of pressing the holes before they cut back. And I thought Caleb did that a couple of times. We saw later in the game Nichols and Trey Sermon get some yardage in the game by pressing and keeping it front side on some run and some zone plays. But I think Caleb is he showed a lot in camp. I think this is not an indictment on who he's going to be as a player. Obviously, his first preseason game, I think he was dealing with some nerves. That's all it is. And I think he'll get back in the lab and he'll be good to go for this second game.
You mentioned Roman Wilson had a nice game. Play action, first play, over the middle of the field, takes a big hit, hangs on to the football. What do you see from him apart from catching the ball? But that, I mean, that's the guy that they drafted is someone that they thought can be a dogged blocker as well.
Right. I mean, he showed that he can catch the ball in space and get open. And that's the most important thing, especially with the position that he's probably projected to play. He's going to have to find some hay working in between the hashes. And he showed that he did that in the first couple of drives. So that's good to see. And I think he'll be fine in the run game once we get out and get into a rhythm. But it was a good sample size for Roman to come out, and we just need to stack performances. That's it at this point.
Trey, when we sit here at the end of the season, will we be saying that Darnell Washington had the best season of all three tight ends?
That's going to be tough because a good season for him won't look like the others. I think he can have the best season and have probably the worst pass catching numbers, because I think his effect is going to be felt across multiple parts of that offense and not just in the pass game. Obviously, he's a monster in the run game too. So I don't think we can make that as a blanket statement, because he's going to be a valuable part of this team, but in multiple ways. John New and Pat are going to catch most of the passes at the tight end position, but Darnell's going to make some hay in that run game. He's going to be. I will say this. I think he ends up catching more touchdowns than the other two.
Hmm.
Harry, can you tell Trey what you just told us? Because I have no idea with audio stuff.
I think when you lean over, Trey, you're leaning into the microphone and it's making your voice distorted.
Oh, my bad.
It did sound like you were underwater for a second there. So if you just, I guess okay. What Harry's saying is maybe back up just a smidge from the microphone.
Back up.
Gotcha. Oh, there, right okay. There you go.
There you go. Yep. Harry barking out directions now. Notice how I had Harry do it and not me. I don't want to have to do that. Trey Essex.
I got to get this audio stuff right, man. I got a show to do.
You got the Snap Count podcast with Charlie Batch. And we talked to both of you guys last week. Charlie doesn't know it yet. We're going to try to have him on Friday again.
Nice.
He doesn't know. But the text is, it's going to be coming at some point from me. So you talk about Arthur Smith and the way he called it and how it was very offensive line friendly. Was that something that you noticed in Arthur Smith last year or not?
I think he tried. I think it was just such a young line. And also it was his first year. And he didn't know. He had to work with the O-line. He had to work with new quarterbacks. And so he had to find out what worked for a whole bunch of different people. And he couldn't really concentrate on what the O-line needed. And, well, at least by itself, he had to worry about the whole offense. I think he has a little bit more trust factor now that he has Aaron back there. And so he can really hone in on what the offensive line needs from a play calling perspective to get them going out fast. And I think he called that perfectly this first preseason game.
Trey, the Steelers take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this coming week, but they also have a joint practice. Do you feel like joint practices are beneficial to teams? Is it beneficial to somebody like Aaron Rodgers who might not play in the preseason?
Yeah, I think it is. I think you get probably more intense work in practice than you do. The ones will go against the ones more often in practice. You can script the plays and get exactly what you want and need out of a particular play in practice versus a game. And so I think it's very beneficial to be able to practice against a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who that defensive line with Vita Vea, and they got the ancient one, linebacker who just won't go away.
Levante David, yep.
His name is Levante David. And that secondary is good too. And so it's going to be a good test for our offense, but I think you can get a whole lot out of practicing versus another team during the practice week.
Trey, 15% of the time last year, the Steelers were in the 13 personnel with three tight ends. Although, while they did it more than any team in the league, they were 26th in the NFL in terms of effectiveness. If Darnell can be a little bit more of a field stretcher, I would expect with this group, now you got Jonnu Smith, you're probably going to see it more. How do you defend that? I mean, you play in base, you play in nickel, you play in dime. I mean, if all three of these guys can be pass-catching threats down the field, and if you've got Darnell Washington in there, who's basically a sixth offensive lineman, you want to pound the rock.
Right.
I don't know how you go about defending it if you're the defense.
Yeah, I don't, and I hope they don't figure it out. I mean, you have so many weapons there that can do so many things. You could definitely come off the ball and play smash-mouth football. That's what I hope. We use that formation for often, but we could definitely throw some play action passes in there. I know that's something that Aaron Rodgers likes to will and deal in, those unique and odd formations with seeing John New in the backfield going in motion. It's going to really mess up that any defense trying to match up with that type of personnel. And so it's good that we have those weapons. And then you add a fourth, maybe, in Connor Hayward if we keep four tight ends, and who knows what kind of stuff Arthur Smith has cooking with those type of formations, but it's definitely something we can definitely add in the bag.
Trey, we appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate it, fellas.
Thanks, Trey.
Good luck with that podcast venture you got going on, the Snap Count podcast with Charlie Batch.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care now, Trey. Thanks again. Trey Essex.
Offensive friendly play calling by Arthur Smith.
I mean, we said it right at the beginning of the show. That's the biggest takeaway.
Yep.
Is the way that the offensive line played in pass protection and the way that Arthur Smith called the game. And last season, yeah, you saw a decent amount of play action. Look, Russ can do the play action moonball. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best play action quarterbacks in the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you watched the Aaron Rodgers Netflix documentary. I mean, he kind of got into the nuances of the play fake, and he thinks about it. He reps it so much, how to make it look as realistic as possible. He's as good as it gets
yep.
when it comes to that. And that is something that has been underutilized for years. Ben didn't love play action the older he got because he didn't love turning his back to the defense. Plus, they didn't run as much under center stuff as the Steelers. Well, I don't think they'll run as much as they did last year because of Rodgers and his mobility. But I think you're going to see a lot of play action, a lot of middle of the field shots, and that's going to help the offensive line. Like, they have talent on the offensive line. They've got bodies on the offensive line. And I think Arthur, in game one of the preseason, he was showing, okay, I know how to use these guys to their strengths. And the other positive takeaway from Trey is he thinks there are more holes in the running game mm-hmm. than were capitalized on by Caleb Johnson. So that's bad for Caleb Johnson. But if you asked me before the game, would you rather feel worse about Caleb Johnson and better about the offensive line or the other way around?
No,
I would take it the other way around.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. And that's just, you know, that's going to be film study, things of that nature for Caleb Johnson. He just needs to slow things down. I mean, you know, your first preseason game, you're wearing an NFL uniform. That gets the guys. It really does. So I'm not really worried about him. I as I said earlier, I'm okay with them slow playing him and letting him be that third running back going into the season and just, you know, let him find his way throughout the, you know, this first 2025 season of his rookie year. So it's some nerves he has to shake off, but I do expect him to bounce back in a big way this coming game on Saturday.
And he'll get reps in the joint practice, too. Yep. His whole thing was he's supposed to be a scheme fit. He's supposed to be able to find those holes in the zone blocking scheme and get up there and hit it. And he said he was a little too passive.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have put it that way because I rode crew in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever he says it and I hear you talk about it, it makes a lot of
sense. It's moving fast.
Sure.
So he's probably like, okay, look, used to the Iowa and the Big Ten of it just developing in front of his eyes. Like, okay, yeah, okay, now I'm going to hit it. Like, no, you actually have to hit it a lot faster and develop, you know, that timing in your mind differently now.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be just something like that. I mean, yeah. Things are moving so fast out there
yeah.
for the first time in his career that he's ever seen it that fast.
And you got Jaylen Warren who could be your RB1. You don't need to bring him on slowly necessarily, but if he's not getting it, you hand the ball to Jaylen Warren, you give the ball to Kenneth Gainwell, and I think you're going to be fine. Especially if the offensive line's opening holes the way that Trey said.